Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and we are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. I have Raven scratch-offs, victorious Raven scratch-offs this week. Tuesday, we'll be at State Fair in the morning for breakfast, and Alan McCallum's going to join us. We have some old friends, some new friends, as well as always a fresh menu at State Fair. And I get to look at Kurt Cobain on the wall, so I kind of dig it as well. Sometimes it's Joan Jett. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Also, our friends at GBMC getting us out on the road here this week. My colonoscopy is coming up here in November. And we talked some orthopedics this week about knee and hip replacement with Dr. Duvall. So, I've been having some great conversations with them and our friends at Curio Wellness, who have taken us out on the tastiness tour. I'm continuing to find really good things. And the tastiness thing's cool, too, for our 27th anniversary, that people are giving me more recommendations of things that I might have missed around town. So I'm all for that, too. So if you eat something really good lately, I need to know about it. Ness at BaltimorePositive.com. Luke is here. He swallowed victory. Under the victory arches. By the way, that's where the Kevin Byrne press box. It's under the victory arch, as was told to me 31 years ago when we were trying to sell PSLs around here. And for all who braved and bought those $28 tickets and went down on a kind of a decent, really nice day for football, got a little Snoop Doggy Dog, didn't they, Luke?
It was a win. It was a win they desperately needed, a win that I saw this and I hadn't really realized it, but the Orioles had won a game more recently than the Ravens
Ooh.
prior to Sunday, and the Orioles have been done playing baseball for a month now. So it speaks to just how grim things had been. And as I, and also, I mean, not just me, so many people noted coming out of the bye week, whether Lamar was going to play or not, turmoil or not, dysfunction or not, injury report debacle or not. If you had any designs of feeling better about this team, looking at a path for them to get back into it, and certainly it helps given the state of the rest of the AFC North, and we'll certainly get into that. They needed a win Sunday. They needed a win in terms of the math. They needed a win in terms of their psyche, your heart, your confidence, your spirit, however you want to categorize it. They
For me,
just
it was
needed a win.
existential. It's whether you're going to have a season or not.
Right. I mean, it.
Right? I mean,
I think 1-6 was just the idea of that. I mean, 1-5 was dark enough, right? I mean, and they had to stew with that for 2 weeks. But 1-6, you're at a point where you're just saying, like, we're 0-3 without Lamar. What's going on with the rest of this roster? We don't, not only do we not have a backup quarterback, but what's going on with the defense? What's going on with the rest of the offense? Yeah, all the talk about having the best roster in the NFL. And look, whether that was anywhere remotely true or not, the idea that if you can't win a single football game without your franchise quarterback, albeit a great one, no one's disputing how important Lamar Jackson is to this team, then how much of a contender can you really be? And I don't even mean like Super Bowl, just like in terms of getting back into it, you know, in the here and now, getting back into this thing at 2-5 with a chance to go 3-5, you know, in just a couple of days. And then have another little mini buy on the other end of that. If you can't do that, then what hope do you have, right? No matter how mediocre the Steelers might be, or how pathetic the Bengals defense is, or how Browns the Browns are, right? I mean, at some point in time, you have to look at yourself and say, man, we've got to man up. You know, it can't just be that our only hope ever is Lamar, right? So,
and that
as you
8-9
said,
wins the division somehow.
I mean, I don't know if it's 8-9, but it might be 9-8. I mean,
Right? Yeah.
we'll see. So, but Tyler Huntley makes a start, and Tyler Huntley just played really good football. I mean, we've seen Tyler Huntley play some solid games in the past. I don't want to make it sound like this was something so extraordinarily better than anything we saw from Tyler Huntley, because he had some good performances in the past, including his first NFL start in Chicago 4 years ago, where he led a last second drive to win a football game. But he
I was
played
still a
clean.
media member then. I remember that one.
I
First
remember,
time in my
right?
life, I was at a press conference where the PR director stepped in front of the coach and said, "Can we have more positive questions? We won."
Right.
You
But I
don't
think,
forget that when you've been doing this for 40 years. You
sure.
don't.
But I just think Tyler Huntley, I mean, he played really sound smart, solid football. And he certainly showed his athleticism that Cooper Rush had none of the last 2 weeks. And I mean, he completed 17 of 22. He had a 116.9 passer rating. They effectively used quick game for him to get the ball out and not expose that offensive line, which I hope to see them do a little more of that with Lamar Jackson back whenever, whether it's in Miami Thursday night or whenever it happens, right? So they ran the ball not extraordinarily well with Derrick Henry, but they ran the ball well enough. We saw Keaton Mitchell, right? There were plenty of things to like without getting ahead of ourselves and saying that everything's fixed about this football team. We know it's not,
They got
but
some first downs and moved the ball. I
but
mean, like.
it was nice, really. It was a really nice win, and it was a much needed win. And I think, and we'll get to the defense as well. Certainly the defense, I think the fact that as much as Chicago moved the ball on those first two drives, the fact that they held them to field goals, I think set the tone for it to be a much better defensive performance overall, to kind of build on what they did against the Rams on that side of the ball. They manned up and they needed to. And as I said to you, and I know you mentioned it, I noted it at BaltimorePositive.com. I wasn't convinced that this Bears team, just because they had won four in a row, was a juggernaut. They were missing multiple members in their secondary. So I thought, even with Tyler Huntley, there should be some plays to be made. There should be some opportunities to score some points. And the Ravens did that. And that's
I
where,
picked them to win, right? Yeah.
I picked them to win. I mean, I didn't feel quite as strongly about it around noon on Saturday when we definitively knew that Lamar Jackson wasn't
Yeah,
going
we're
to
gonna do a
play.
whole thing
Oh,
on
sure, we'll get into
Harbaugh,
that.
and
Of
it's
course.
PR. He pushed it to Chad Steele. He said PR. Like, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. So, I mean, and they got to play football on Thursday night, but I mean, I want to stay as upbeat as I can be in this. This is my
Long season.
Well, this is my kind words about them. They're supposed to be a 12 or 13 win football team, as comprised on Labor Day, without any massive injuries, catastrophic injuries, which they had to Matabike, right? That's a catastrophic injury. The rest of it was they'll get Roquan back, they'll get Lamar back, Marlon Humphrey will show up, Stanley. Always a question mark, I think, for all of us. By the way, I saw J.K. Dobbins running around again. I mean, guys that have had a lot of injuries still get jobs and play and try hard, and it's their shot in life to get out there and do it. And Joe Flacco's doing it, for crying out loud, right? If you could just play defense. But for me, I look at them and say, backup quarterback, not named Cooper Rush. And by the way, that's its own indictment of. Who went in the room in February and March and came out with "We need him"? That's what we're going to be able to win with when Lamar tweaks his hamstring in week four. So, I would say across the board, I don't need perfection. I don't think they're going to have a great pass rush. I don't think they're going to open Earl Campbell holes for Derrick Henry. Especially not with the backup quarterback playing. I was really impressed with all of it. From a not making mistakes, getting to the sticks when they needed to. Third down defense, when you don't have a pass rush, you sort of negate what strength you would have on third and seven and third and eight and third and nine. Chicago completed a lot of that, and they were in a lot of it, which means there was a lot of success on first and second down, for the Ravens. So I mean, there was a great punt, made some field goals. I don't with the backup quarterback at home against the 4-2 team. I mean, they won by two touchdowns in the end. It was very impressive. It might not have been had the pick not happened and step it up for Wiggins. I mean, they picked the ball off. They took the ball away. I mean, I can point at the film of this one and say they did a dozen things that make them look like they can still. Win 10 games, as predicted, even in my John Harbaugh takedown last week, which my wife finally read.
And I mean, and I still felt there was meat on the bone, right? In the sense that there were still things that they need to get better with. I mean, to your point, the pass rush, I mean, it still feels like unless they're going to blitz, it's going to be very, very difficult for them to get to the quarterback. But when you do blitz and a team screens to that side of the field, we saw DeAndre Swift, catch one and run a long way, right? I mean, so you're going to be vulnerable in those ways, but this was a Bears team that had averaged, what, 5.5 yards per carry the last 2 weeks, and they contained that running game quite well. Gave up a couple runs, but overall, they stopped the run well, and they were in, yeah, like you said, they were in quite a few third downs, but I think there were some third and longs sprinkled in there, which, if you're going to try to get home with whatever semblance of a pass rush you have, it better be third and long, right? Third and four, probably not going to go well for this team, right? So there was plenty to like. There's still much more work to be done. As I said, I think this is a Bears team that, look, they're certainly better than the Bears have been, right? And that's kind of damning them with praise. I get it. But at the same time, they're a team that on defense was completely dependent on turnovers. Well, the Ravens take care of the football. But on the flip side of that, that defense ranked last in the NFL coming into Sunday's game in yards per play allowed. So it tells you it was a very high variance defense. And with your backup quarterback, the Ravens moved the ball and they played a clean brand of football overall. It wasn't perfect. I mean, there were a couple clock management things here and there. I mean, they ran a play right before the 2 minute warning late in the first half. I thought that was kind of a curious choice. Even late in the game, they ran out of bounds a couple times instead of staying in bounds. I mean, they were little things in that moment, but still, in a big picture sense, things you'd like to see them clean up. So they still have a lot of work to do, right? I mean,
And they got some breaks and gave some breaks. I mean,
no
Hopkins
question.
grabbed that guy's face mask on the way out and jerked his head.
That's just a savvy, that's a savvy veteran wide receiver move right there.
Grabbing
But
the
yeah.
face mask, but
No, well,
I get it.
I'm being facetious, sure,
I,
but
I would Marvin Lewis and I argue about this all the time, and just because he sat on the side of hating anything that stopped the game or involved New York or any of that. Just did. I mean, even like with pass interference, I'm like, they should make that challengeable. It's a 60-yard play.
Yeah.
Like, you should be able to look at that. Nah, I don't want him to look at anything. And I'm thinking, man, dude grabs a face mask, and I've got a red flag in my pocket, and it cost me 30 yards, like, and a first down and possession of the ball because it's third and long. Like, the whole deal, I would be like, that should be a challengeable thing. And I don't think that often, but when I do, I think of Marvin and I
Yeah.
fighting over a margarita about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and you and I've talked about this over the years, and I don't want to belabor the point because, I mean,
You've been
they
there with Marvin and I've
yeah, sure. No, but I do think there is a, you do come to a point where it's like, how much is too much when it comes to that kind of
Well,
stuff. And
baseball's going to have a computer doing balls and strikes, right? So
yeah,
that's where we
well,
are.
I mean, you're going to have a challenge system. I mean, will it go full automation at some point?
They're chipping the
Probably,
ball. They're
but
going to
yeah.
do, and they're going to do all of that. They're
So,
going to have to.
but if they can, great. But until we're at that point, you do get to a point where you say, okay, we can't let perfect be the enemy of good in the sense that, yeah, you can review everything if you want, if you want to be there for
Like
5 hours, right?
millions
Yeah.
and billions of dollars of bets are going back
Well,
and forth. And
sure.
as we haven't talked NBA, we haven't talked about Harbaugh.
Right.
We'll do all of that at an appropriate time here a little later on because I want to talk about the game and stay on the game right now because
Sure.
that's its own rabbit
Hey,
hole.
they won.
Harbaugh
It's
lying,
positive, right?
honest mistake. There are no honest mistakes with John Harbaugh. You make $20 million a year. Man up, dude. Be a leader. So in every respect, PR, Rob, Rob, not Mob, sure. Luke is here, by the way. He's Baltimore Luke. Short week, Thursday night. Is Lamar coming back? Well, like all those bigger questions that will be answered. I mean, the Orioles even have a manager through all of this before we have a World Series champion, and we don't know whether that's going to be in America or Canada for crying out loud. I would just say for the team, and I have Jason Cole coming on, by the way, dancing on the edge of chaos,
I
13 years
cited that with
later.
someone earlier this week, just in passing. They couldn't remember it, but I said, no, Jason cited that, used that expression. I thought it was apropos at the
I
time,
was
and
standing there in the gym when he did it, you know, dancing on the edge of chaos. John, you just fired your offensive coordinator. It's Christmas week.
yeah.
So look, this John's been through all of this. Ray Rice and CNN camped out on his doorstep and still lying, at that point. So look, the injury thing and playing coy and that dumb Midwestern, how could I know? I'm only in charge. It's dis something, spicable, graceful, something less than graceful. But they're 2-5. Nothing to write home about, but the quarterback gets right. Minnesota over the hill, that tough Jets team that we saw battle back. And, look, in any given week, we thought Miami sucked until the game started on Sunday, right? And then they lay four whoppers up, and
The
now you got to go,
shocking result.
that, right? Then you got to go play them Thursday night. We'll get to that. So week to week, we stink. We're 1-5. I don't know. I mean, to me, they've always been a team with potential, which is why when they lose to Kansas City, they lose to Detroit. You look up and say, well, they're losing to other quality teams, and then they lose half the team for a couple of weeks, and you start to think, well, the season's over. And now I look over the hill, as I wrote in my dear John Harbaugh letter that I implore everyone to read because it has to do with honesty. I'll start singing a Billy Joel song. I swear to God I will. But it also has to do with how good the team is and how good the players are and how good the pedigree is and how much money they've spent on all of this and how bad they want it or don't want it and where Lamar is. And it's just being out on Twitter and social media at a time when they're 1-5 and people are, the nastiness toward me on a personal level is amazing. But what I see in racism, what I see in he ain't really hurt. I mean, it's just, I had two knuckleheads come up to me at Costas last week and tell me, Justin Tucker, those girls shouldn't have been in one of them massage parlors. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I see who's running the country. So I go through all of this and damning John and praising the organization and being a Lamar sycophant, like through all of this, they're still a really good football team. They win a lot of games around here, which is why I thought they were going to win, which is why I think they're going to win four or five more in the next 5 or 6 weeks and make it interesting because I think what Sunday reiterates after bye week, after getting players back, after getting a guy that came off the boat from Southern California in a trade in the middle of the week where he wasn't expecting to get traded, and he comes in here and has to play, settling this down, and especially the offensive and defensive lines, to not just say, all right, we're not good enough, but at least who? Who is going to play, and do they know their alignment, assignment, and technique? Because when you're bringing second and third string guys in to play with Cooper Rush, you want to play a different system. Linemen are already a mess.
Right.
It just really looked disjointed, and they looked in over their heads against the Rams in Detroit and good teams that could overwhelm them. They're not going to have that the next couple of weeks. And I still have a very much of the mindset that if I had a dollar to wager on them, I would wager on them getting to 500 this year at some point, even though they were four games under. I'm thinking they're going to be 7-7, and there's nothing I saw on Sunday that doesn't make me believe that if Lamar Jackson's really coming back.
Yeah, well, and I mean, there's no reason to think he's not coming back at all, right? I mean, it's a matter of when. And people have already guessed wrong. The head coach has already speculated incorrectly, right? And it's not the first time that's
Which makes
happened.
the media
But
speculate incorrectly, right? Because
sure.
go back and read
But
Schefter's tweets from 3 weeks ago and
sure.
Rappaport, all of that. It was, he'll be back after the bye because that's what they told everybody. And that's why you and I sort of coughed heavy last Monday when he didn't walk out practicing.
Well, it raised the alarm, right? I mean, sounded the alarm. But to go back to something you just said, I mean, this next month is absolutely critical. And that's not to say because of what lies ahead. No, it's exactly to say what lies ahead in the final month of the season, right? Everything you just said, I agree with from the standpoint of, and we were saying this at the time when they were 1-5. Just like 2-5. I mean, 2-5 in a back, like that's a bad record, right? I mean, you look at it at face value, you say you're 2-5, you guys stink. But I think we all acknowledged injuries, some of clearly the personnel issues, the specific injury to Matt Ebike and what that's meant for their offense or for their defensive line. Certainly when you're missing your quarterback. But I think even the most pessimistic Ravens fan looked at 1-5 and said, from a true talent level standpoint, these guys are better than this. Now, that doesn't mean they're 5-1 or 6-0 true greatness, right? But the truth is somewhere in the middle. Were they overrated at the beginning of the year? Was their roster overrated? Did they have flaws that that some of us, myself included, overlooked a little bit too much? Sure, right?
I
I'll
was
own that.
always questioning
But
their age. I always question
I don't know if it's
Humphrey
age as
Stanley
much.
in key positions with big salaries to say, where would they be? Let alone where they'd be if Lamar broke down, right?
I think it's tough to do that with injuries, though. I mean, Ronnie Stanley, yes. But I mean, Marlon Humphrey doesn't have this extensive laundry list career worth of injuries in the way that we talked about Jimmy Smith for a decade, right?
Sure.
So, but I think, when you looked at the depth of the defensive line and then you lose Matabike on top of that, that was a question mark, right? When you looked at edge rusher, certainly acknowledging Van Noy's age. I'll cede that one, no question.
Well, they didn't envision themselves playing week 8 without Owe either.
Well, but they traded him, right? Well, and because they said he was making too much money and we needed a third, they said we needed a third safety, which, by the way, from the moment Ardarius Washington got hurt a couple weeks after the draft, when we spent 2 weeks talking about, oh, they're going to get back to these three safety looks defensively, I was talking about them needing a number
But
three
dude, they
safety.
had no pass rush to begin with and they gave the kid away, the only guy they had.
Oh, he
So
wasn't doing much anyway. I
right,
mean, he just
exactly.
wasn't.
That
So,
really
yeah.
speaks to how they felt about him,
Sure,
right?
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, no question. Oh, of course. I mean, if they loved Odafe Owe, they wouldn't have traded him. They would have been more likely to extend him than trading him. We're going to see. I mean, the trade deadline is another element to this. They've got a week roughly, as you and I are speaking in real time. So, but for me, and you've mentioned, you've cited, feeling good about them being 7-7, and I know you're kind of just using that as a benchmark. I would challenge and say they need to be better than 7-7 going into the final 3 weeks of the season. And how do you do that? You've got to make your hay this next month, right? Miami Thursday night at Minnesota, the Vikings. I mean, who's playing quarterback?
Well, I was going to say, Tua is going to be the best quarterback they see for the next month.
And that's a low bar because until this past week, he's been awful of late. So, but noted, but at Miami, at Minnesota, at Cleveland. Now you hear that. That's three straight road games. I don't care who the opponents are. That's a challenge. There's no question about that. And it's Cleveland, an AFC North opponent. And the Ravens have lost games of the Browns in recent years, even when the Browns haven't been good at times. So, but you have those three games, and then you have the Jets, right? And then Thursday, Thanksgiving night, Cincinnati comes in. That's when the schedule picks up in terms of division
The
games.
next home game, we go back to back in 4 days. Home Sunday Jets, home Bengals Thanksgiving week. So,
If this
I mean,
is a
they're
team,
literally gone for a month. I mean, leaves will be off the trees when they get home.
yeah, but if this is a team, if you're looking at it in terms of wanting to be good in good position from a math standpoint, which we can't ignore, 1-5 is 1-5. No matter how great you look moving forward, you can't escape 1-5 at the beginning of your schedule. The math is going to be working against them in that way, right? Even if this team looks like the 72 Dolphins the rest of the way, the best they can go is 12-5, right? You can't get any better than that. So with that in mind, you look at these next four games at Miami, at Minnesota, at Cleveland, home against the Jets. If this team is meant to approach what we thought it was going to be, and if this team is going to be that kind of a legit contender at some point later in the season, they've got to make their hay here over the next month. Because if you drop a game or two over this stretch, then you start to look at that final 4 or 5 week stretch and say, man, we've got to run the table here, right? If what little wiggle room they have, if I'm talking about this, I want to have that at the very end of the season. So in order to have that, man, you've got to get on a roll here. I mean, if you can win these next four, and look, everyone
Three
who's
in a
listening,
row on the road. Are they good enough to do that? Yeah, but I don't know
should
if they're good enough
be.
to do it with their backup
I'm not,
quarterback.
well, of course, right? I mean, I'm projecting out that Lamar's not going to be out another month, which, until we see him, like, look, I'm
Well,
not going
then
to
they'll
sit
be a
here and,
favorite in all three games on the
sure,
road then,
but that's my
if they have
point. So,
Lamar, right?
sure, they should be. Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, they were a favorite against the Bears still on Sunday, barely, but they still were. It speaks to what Vegas thought about the Bears and what they still think the Ravens can be, right? Especially if you get number eight back
Yeah,
here.
I'm not getting anybody to get on parlay bets, but if you were to parlay that they could win all three in a row, I wonder how much money you can
I
win
mean,
because they're going to be favored in all the games
I
anyway.
just think if you're trying to project this out, again, we've
You're
talked
not going to
about
make
it.
money betting on the Ravens right now, like literally, even on the road, because we're kind of expecting them to be 5-5, right?
I mean, if they're
Yeah, that's what
not,
you're talking about right now.
I mean, if they're not, then I don't like their chances to do this, right? You know, in terms of winning the division or making the playoffs, right? I mean, and look, we'll get into it. I mean, I saw Pittsburgh in the second half just like everyone else Sunday night. They were awful. I mean, they looked absolutely awful in that second half. Their defense stinks. Like we're talking about the Ravens' defensive issues, and yeah, the Ravens still have defensive issues, but that Pittsburgh defense has been pretty lousy now.
It's crazy. Like the Steelers counting on 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers with a
Who hasn't
stinky
been their
defense.
problem?
The
Yeah.
Bengals calling Flacco to save their ass, and he puts 37 up, and it's
And
not enough.
they give up that many to the Jets? I mean,
Right?
yeah.
I mean, it's
And the
crazy.
AFC North's not a good division right now. So that's where you look at this and just say, look, that doesn't mean you sit here and say the Ravens are totally fine. No, this is not what I'm saying. I'm laying out the path as I did a month ago when they were 1-3, right?
That 9-8 can win the division.
I mean,
That's where
I
it
don't
is for
know
me.
for sure if 9-8 can, but I feel very, very, very confident that 10-7 will win the division, whether it's the Ravens, whether it's the Steelers, or whether it's the Bengals finding some semblance of a defense and Joe Flacco holding down the fort, and maybe Joe Burrow walks out of the
I
tunnel in
mean, the
week
Bengals,
16.
dude. What was that?
Oh, I mean, it's the
What was
but I
that?
will also say
You're on the
this.
cusp of 500. People are buying Flacco jerseys. He's throwing the ball all over the place. I mean,
Kind of,
I, jeez.
it's what Joe, it's honestly what Joe Burrow probably says privately. Like, you see what's around? You see what's around myself, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins? Not a whole lot other things that you feel great about. So, point is, it's still very much open. And for anyone listening, look, if you're John Harbaugh, if you're Lamar Jackson returning, Snoop Huntley until Lamar's back, anyone on that roster, it's all about Miami, right? You have to be really good about being deliberate and compartmentalizing and not looking ahead. Like, I can look ahead as much as I want. I'm not playing, right? I mean, it's my job to kind of look
Well,
out.
Monday morning becomes Thursday,
No
literally,
question. I
like
mean,
this.
it's a challenge, and that's why no matter I mean, especially now with the Dolphins doing what they did Sunday, which was one of the biggest, I mean, the Jets, I think doing what they did was the biggest shock of the week, and especially on the heels of their owner dressing down Justin Fields publicly and all of that. I mean, that was the most shocking result to me. But the Falcons, and I get it, Penix didn't play, but like Miami to do what they did, I mean, I thought it was more likely McDaniel was going to be fired at this point in time. And again, it's one game, just like it was one game for the Ravens. But hopefully, if you're John Harbaugh, you like that happened, because even if Lamar runs out there and is playing this week, you certainly don't want to be looking past the Dolphins, right? You don't want to be in that position. And hey, 4 years ago, they went down to Miami against a bad Dolphins team and they got worked,
Well,
right?
Lamar is
So,
always worked up for this one. This is the only
no
chance he
question.
gets to play at home for his future franchise.
First future friend. I'll leave that part alone. You can own that
You
part, but
file that and
oh,
bring that
I mean,
back,
I
you
wouldn't
know.
doubt it. I mean, I don't
Flacco's
think
on
it's.
his seventh team or whatever. So,
Yeah, I mean, you never
I
know.
mean,
I mean,
Aaron Rodgers is on his third team. So, like,
so
hey,
yeah,
stop, you
I mean,
know.
if it's a,
Brady
if
went to Tampa and won. So they let, you know, come on, man.
I well, I hear you, but I think for, you know, if it's a 36-year-old Lamar Jackson, sure, okay. But the point is,
With a $74 million cap number, he might be playing for the Saints next year, for all I know, right?
well, if that's the case, then to me, then the Ravens are starting over at the top, you know, a front office coaching everything. But
Well, he better get his ass back on the field Thursday
you
night.
know,
That's
but
all I'm saying. Lamar started better start being Lamar. They're 2-5. I mean, that just goes without saying. I
sure,
mean, I haven't put any pressure on him in a month. Dude,
but
like,
he
here
needs to
we
be
are.
healthy. He needs to be healthy, right? I mean, you also don't want him playing until he's, you know, until
Dude,
he's
I tell you
healthy.
what, if Tyler Huntley would have run around out there against Detroit and, you know, LA and whatever, I don't know. It would have been better than Cooper Rush.
Well, Lamar was out there for Detroit. I
Detroit, I'm
mean,
sorry.
they yeah, Houston is the
Houston.
one you meant. Yeah.
By the way, those uniforms, I know we're not doing fashion right now. Lose those, the Texans. That's awful.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Tyler Huntley was beating the Texans because the Ravens were just so across the board horrendous in that game. I do think it would have been interesting to see if Tyler Huntley started against the Rams, given how the Rams played, which that was a choppy effort from them
Oh,
offensively.
they didn't get out of bed the first hour. Yeah.
So, I mean, that game was 3-3 at halftime, if you remember. So, I mean, look, in a 30,000 look, 30,000 foot perspective, if you're missing your franchise quarterback for three games, in most instances, and if you're playing good teams, which the Ravens certainly did, especially in those first two games, but I mean, the Bears 4-2, we're 4-3 still. I'm going to guess and predict 1-2 most of the time,
You're gonna
right? I
lose
mean,
two out of three, right?
yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, but that's why Sunday was so important, and that's why Tyler Huntley deserves his flowers for how he played on Sunday. I mean, he played very clean. I thought the Todd Monken's game plan, regardless of the red zone and settling for field goals, I think they had a good game plan to not put Huntley in too many obvious stand in the pocket situations where he's holding the ball
And he's got to
and
take care of the ball. That's always the issue with these. He's
he
got
has to
small
take care of it.
hands. Yeah, I
And
mean, like,
the ball has to come out, right?
but
You
he's
can't
very
hold it for five
capable,
seconds.
clearly, right?
So, I mean, he played clean football. And I think it's interesting. I can recall asking John Harbaugh back in late August when Cleveland had cut Huntley and he arrived and he was back on the practice squad. And I asked him, how much do you like? Because, remember, they had Devin Leary, who they had drafted in the sixth round last year. Didn't develop. I mean, you saw nothing from him these last two summers, and they just parted ways with him. But I asked John Harbaugh at the time, about Tyler Huntley, how much do you like having a practice squad quarterback who has some experience starting games? I mean, he started a playoff game, regardless of how it went at the end. And I remember Harbaugh distinctly saying that they thought that Huntley had made some improvement. Had some starts in Miami last year, and thought that he had shown some growth. Now, at the time, would it have been nice at that point in time to maybe go with him rather than Cooper Rush? Well, you guaranteed Cooper Rush $4 million, right? I mean, at some point in time, every team whiffs on free agent contracts, and that was a bad signing, obviously. It was a weird fit all along,
Yeah, I just wonder that process. And
it's weird.
this is one of those things for all of the years that I wrote books about the team and I was allowed in the building and welcomed as something other than not state enemy or jerk or less than a human or breathe different air, all those things that I felt over the course of time. They would be honest about that and say, you know, we felt like we could structure the offense differently with Cooper, that we'd have some other weapons because of the receivers we have, because of the offensive line. We felt like they had more versatility to play more pro set normal offense if Cooper Rush were a part of this.
And their offensive line doesn't allow them to do that right now. I mean, it really might be that. And let me be clear.
Because the think tank isn't that just Eric liked them or Monken liked them or someone liked them. T. Mark, somebody said, like, let's go in and look at film on him. And they all get together and somebody signs off on it other than just Eric saying, here's your quarterback. Like, they don't run like that. Now,
Yeah,
I
they're
know.
collaborative.
I think of them as incredibly dysfunctional because I think of Sashi Brown, who I might be having lunch with this week, and Chad Steele. I feel like they're very dysfunctional, and we're going to do a whole segment on how dysfunctional they were in regard to betting lines and moving the line 5 points and doing stuff that would get the FBI's eyes over the weekend, and then shrugging their shoulders because John's just a dumb Midwestern boy. How could I know anything about this? I'm just a head coach. We can go through all of those machinations, but I see them on a personnel level that the Cooper Rush thing is not done in a vacuum without the owner, without, I think they all sort of, it's an important little piece to, you know, that Steve Bisciotti doesn't walk in and say, you signed who for what? Now explain this to me. Because that's who Bisciotti is. I mean, Bisciotti can be prickly. And, now why we sign him? What are we doing here, John? You know, I could hear it in his voice. You're like, what, Eric, what were you thinking? What were we thinking here? What are we thinking here? And when it happened, we were like, it's a little out of character, a little different. And then, you know, they had to stew on it and play a couple of games, to your point, with him. Now it's obvious how much better this was than that was. And There should be some questioning about that. Like, what was the process that went into that?
Yeah, and it really could have been as simple as one, they saw that he had a winning record against or for the Cowboys in place of Dak Prescott, and two, they thought their offensive line was going to play much better than it's playing. I mean,
And they
if
have
you
a running back in Derrick Henry that they could play that
sure,
style if they needed to.
but again, that
A
goes
couple
back to
big
the
fat
offensive
tight
line.
ends. They got a fullback.
So,
They could endure that or absorb that, to use Billick's word. They could
but again,
absorb that for a couple weeks, and then when it came to roost, it wasn't that, right?
yeah, but it just came back to, I mean, their offensive line, as you saw, Snoop Huntley had success throwing the ball. See how quickly it was coming out. They had to play, they played quick game. They did a lot of stuff where he was not in traditional, true pass set type plays, right? I mean, and it worked out well. If Snoop has to drop back and throw 40 times in a conventional way,
Because they're
that's not going
losing
to
by
go well.
17
Right.
points
That's
on
not going to
Thursday
go
night.
well.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's
Yeah.
not going to go well for Lamar because of the state of this pass protection. So, you know, I think it worked well. I'd like to see some of those elements carry over when Lamar comes back, because I think that will help him in terms of time, you know, and holding up against, you know, more formidable pass rushes. So we'll see. It was a step, couple steps in the right direction. It was good to see. It was one game. We all get that. But hey, 2-5 feels like a path with the schedule they have. 1-6, I don't care how easy that schedule was. That felt so dark. That would have been so deflating that whenever Lamar was coming back, it was going to feel too little, too late. So, an absolute must win, and they got the job done, and kudos to them for
Still dancing on the edge of chaos at 2-5.
that.
They will play in Miami on Thursday night. Luke will be out in a short week. We have a new manager for the Orioles. We're in the middle of the World Series. Terps are playing Indiana. We got all sorts of things happening around here. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour Morning Edition. We're going to be at State Fair in Catonsville. Life is great in the 21228. I'll be getting shrimp and grits or the chicken and waffles. We'll be giving out the Ravens scratch-offs. They're luckier this week because we're winning right now. And if there's any breaking news in regard to Lamar, you'll get that first on the WNST Tech Service. That is all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Big short week around here, some compression of some things, and we're going to be out on the internet. I had Brian Frosch on. We had a great crab cake tour stop last week. Next week, we're at Coco's on Wednesday, and then on Friday, after Halloween, we're going to be over at Pizza John's having some pizza and some cheesesteaks and probably some proper crinkle-cut French fries and gravy, because that's the way I like to do it. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. More football ahead in a short week, condensed version. We're Baltimore positive. Stay with us.